Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, Bible, Bible, Who's Got the Bible? This series is a follow-up to our series entitled Life, Find It, Get It, Learn It, Live It. In that series of studies, we looked at the importance of finding life. If we're going to be able to get God's life, saw that the place where God places His life is on the pages of His book in His Word. This series of studies, we want to expand upon that and understand where God's Word is. Where is that Word? If life is found in God's Word, then it's important that we be able to locate, to identify and locate the Word of God. And in this series of studies, we'll answer that question about where is the Bible? We invite you to stay tuned with us. As I said, turn to John chapter 6 and verse 63. That'll be our starting point for today. Also, we invite you to get a pen or pencil and some paper to get our contact information down at the end of the program. We have a mailing address, a website, and also a toll-free phone number. Any one of those ways, you can contact us if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, or if you have a question or comment about something you heard. We'd love to have you write to us and ask that question. We'd be glad to answer it. Right now, though, John chapter 6 and verse number 63. John 6 and verse number 63. And we read this, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." We use this passage in our previous series of studies to illustrate the fact that life, God's life, is found in words. It's found in words on the pages of a book. It's found specifically in the words that God speaks and places in the Bible. The words that Jesus Christ spoke here during His earthly ministry. The words that God spoke through the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. The words that the Holy Spirit spake through David and through Isaiah. The words that Christ spoke through His apostles. The words that Christ spoke through Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. All those are the source of life. All those words are where we find life. Now, we started two weeks ago, to understand where to find those words. And we saw, first of all, that even once we understand that those words are found in the Bible, that the Bible is different than any other book. It's not like the Quran. It's not like the Book of Mormon. It is a book that contains all the Word of God. A book written by some 40 men over a space of 1,500 years, yet giving one continuous narrative of what God is doing and how He's working in mankind. No other book can make that claim. All other books that claim to be inspired by God or claim to be the Word of God are the work of one man over a very short course of time. The Bible's the only one that can claim an unbroken revelation that fits beginning to end. But even once we understand that God's Word is found in the Bible, then we have to ask ourselves the question, which Bible? Because as we saw in our first study in this series, there are many Bibles. You go into a bookstore and try to buy a Bible, one of the first questions they'll ask is, well, which one do you want? Because there are many, many different Bibles, many, many different versions of the Bible. And we saw in our first study that those versions do differ. And because of two important facts, those differences are important. Number one, every word of God is important. God places value on every word. He says, you don't subtract, you don't add, not one jot, not one tittle will be taken from my law. They'll all be fulfilled. Number two, Satan's policy of evil involves corrupting the Word of God. So when you put those two things together, that God values every word and Satan is going to try to corrupt that word and change that word, then we know that it's important to identify where those words are located. Last week, we looked at the issue of inspiration, what it means to inspire words. And the issue of inspiration means that those words, those thoughts of God, are placed into human words. And those human words then are written down on a page. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. All Scripture. Scripture is words on a page. It's writing. So we have God's thoughts. And those thoughts then, He translates, if you will, into human words, human language. The infinite thoughts of an infinite God placed into the finite words of humanity. That's really, you know, many people today worry about translation. Can you accurately translate from Greek to English and from Hebrew to English? And what if we want to put it in other languages? That translation is not a problem. The amazing translation, the amazing thing that happens in God's Word is that God's infinite thoughts are put into man's finite words, and then those words finally are written on a page. And those written words contain life. The words that I speak, Christ said, they are spirit and they are life. Those words that He spoke have been written down in a book, and you today hold in your hand the words that Jesus Christ spoke. Whether they were words that He spoke during His earthly ministry, or words that He spoke through the Apostle Paul after His ascension, or words that the Holy Spirit spoke through Jeremiah or Isaiah, they are the words of God. And every word on the page is God-breathed, comes out of the very mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, once those words are written down, and we know that the important thing about writing them down is that that's the first step in preserving them. If I just tell you God's Word, you'll remember it for a little while, but it won't be accessible to you over the long haul. But what I need to do is write it down. That's where inspiration comes in. Now, today, we want to talk about preservation. That not only has God written His Word down, which as I said is the first step in preserving it, but He has promised, I will preserve those written words. Those words that I wrote down on the page, they will not pass away. They will not be destroyed. They are preserved. Psalm chapter 12. And verse number 6. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6. And notice what the psalmist says here about the words of God. Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6. Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The words of the Lord are pure, thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them. And that preservation there is something that the psalmist says, how long will God preserve His words? Forever. The words of the Lord are pure, that's because they're inspired by God, and He will preserve those words forever. Isaiah chapter 30. And verse number 8. You'll recall that we looked at this verse last week when we dealt with what inspiration is. That inspiration involves writing the words down on a page. But that writing the words down on a page is the first step, as I said, to preserving those words. It's the first step to having those words stand forever. As you see here in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 8. Isaiah 30, verse 8, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Write it in a table, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come. What does writing it in a table and noting it in a book do? What does that accomplish? Well, it starts that process of preserving it forever, that it may be for the time to come, and notice there, forever and ever. God's preservation is not for a year, not for 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, but forever. Turn with me back to the book of Isaiah, or stay in the book of Isaiah, I guess I should say, and go to chapter 29. Chapter 29 of Isaiah, and notice verse number 17. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 17. And just as inspiration, last week we spent some time talking about the fact that inspiration involves words, plural. And why is it important to understand that inspiration involves words? Well, because inspiration, God's inspiration of Scripture, is not just thoughts and ideas. There is a theory about the inspiration of the Bible that's called dynamic equivalency. And when you translate, what you're looking for is just the thought and the idea, and the words are not all that important. Just so you get the thought and the idea. It's a dynamic, it's a living, moving equivalent. But you see, the reason you can't translate that way is because that's not the way God inspired. God inspired based on words. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Matthew chapter 4 says, which is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every word, the words are inspired. So if the words are what is inspired, and God is going to preserve what's inspired, then He must also preserve words. Not just thoughts or ideas or concepts, but the words must be preserved. Notice here in Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29 and verse number 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. This is a prophecy about the kingdom and about what will happen in the kingdom. Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day, in that end time, in that last day, the deaf shall hear the words of this book. You see, the words that are in that book are going to be read and heard by the deaf in the kingdom. When Jesus Christ establishes that kingdom and all sickness and all disease, and the ears of the deaf are open, the eyes of the blind will see, and the tongue of the dumb will speak, in that day the words of this book will be heard. Well, what do we know then? Well, we know that those words that are written down and are being preserved forever are going to still be there in that day. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 17. Matthew 5, verse 17. As we said earlier, if inspiration is about words, then preservation must also be about words. You see, God is not just trying to preserve the general thought and idea of what His book says. God is preserving the words. That's why, and the reason that's important, if you remember, and if you were tuned in the first week when we looked at some of the differences in Bible versions, and we saw, you know, a word left out here, a word left out there, a verse left out here, a verse left out there. They say, well, it's not all that much. But listen, if the words are important, if the words are inspired, the individual words, and if those individual words are being preserved, then it's the words we need to find. Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Not just the ideas and the concepts, the very words. Because you've got to have the exact words to express the proper concepts and the proper ideas. Those words must be pure. Turn to Matthew 5, as I said, verse 17. Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Not one jot, not one tittle, not one particle will depart from the law till all be fulfilled. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 35. Matthew 24 and verse number 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, plural, shall not pass away. My words. Not thoughts, not concepts, not ideas, not principles, but words. See, God deals in words. His thoughts and His ideas are expressed and translated into words. Those words are written down on a page. Those written words are preserved forever. Every word. Now, how does He do that? How does God preserve His word? Well, there are many ways that God could do it. The way God chose to do it was by copies of His word. He chose to make multiplied copies. You see, if God chose to preserve the original, if there was only one Bible, and He preserved that, then how many Bibles would we have to destroy the Word of God? Well, obviously just one. But if God chose to preserve His Word by making copies, and by making hundreds, thousands, millions of copies, now how many have to be destroyed to destroy God's Word? Well, millions. And today with the technology that we have, with computers and copiers and high-speed printers, we can produce millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of copies of God's Word. Even if the pages are destroyed, it exists somewhere in electronic form. We can reprint it. By having those multiplied copies, God ensured the preservation of His Word. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. It's interesting that from the very beginning, God has had a plan and a purpose to preserve His Word, to take a book, to write that book, to keep adding to that book, and to preserve that book by making multiplied copies of it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know what God's saying there? Copies, copies, copies. You're going to bind them for a sign upon your hand, frontlets between your eyes, write them on the posts of your house, write them on your gates. Copies, copies, copies. There's not just one master copy of God's Word. Israel, I want you to have copies of that book everywhere. I want you to write my words everywhere. The way that God's Word is preserved forever is by multiplied copies. Those multiplied copies are the way that it's preserved. Turn to the 17th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 17, 18. They'll read this. "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." What's the king supposed to do? This is instruction to the king of Israel. What does the king of Israel do? Well, he takes that law and he writes a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. The king got a copy of God's word. The king had his own copy of what for them, all they had of the Bible. They had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the king on the throne had that law of God, his own copy. And as you go through the Old Testament, you see again and again copies, 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 copies being made of God's Word, and copies being distributed, and more copies being made, and more copies being distributed, and translations being made, and copies of those translations, till you have ultimately thousands and millions of copies and translations of God's Word. And it's impossible to destroy it because it exists in so many places, in so many forms. It can't be destroyed. Acts chapter 15
Acts chapter 15. In fact, before you go to Acts, let's turn to Jeremiah, since that's in the Old Testament and on the way to the book of Acts. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 60. Jeremiah 51 and verse 60. And let's look here at a copy. Jeremiah 51 and verse number 60. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sarai, when thou comest to Babylon and shall see and shall read all these words, then thou shalt say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. You know, there's an interesting passage. Some people would say, well, we need to have the originals. If we want to really know what God said, we have to be back to that original book that He inspired. Those original languages, Hebrew and Greek, and that are His original manuscripts that they wrote on. We need to be close to the original. But you know, here in Jeremiah, the original manuscript of Jeremiah. You know what happened to the original manuscript of Jeremiah? The original manuscript of Jeremiah is taken and thrown into the Euphrates, and it sinks. So you know what Jeremiah had to use after that? He had to use a copy. God's preserving His words not in preserving the original, but in preserving copies in the hands of His people. Acts chapter 15. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and in Acts 15, notice with me, if you will, verse number 21. Acts 15 and verse number 21. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Where is Moses read? In every city. How could you do that if you didn't have copies? All those copies of God's Word. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Copies, those copies of God's Word. Jesus Christ viewed those copies of God's Word as authoritative. Notice what He says in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Did you never read in the Scriptures? What does that question imply? What doesn't it imply that they had the Scriptures? Well, they didn't have the originals. They had copies there of the originals. Didn't you ever read? And what did He call those copies? Scripture. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. You see, it's the Scriptures. Those copies they had, have ye not read what God said? Have ye not read the Scriptures? Don't you know the Scriptures? All those things that Christ said are assuming something. Those things that Christ said are assuming that the copies that those people had available to them. And remember, they didn't have photocopiers and laser printers and computers to store this all on. They're handmade copies. Copied for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and distributed and translated. And Jesus Christ looks at people and He holds them accountable to the Word of God, to know the Word of God, because they have copies of it. Don't ever think that you'll be able to stand before God and say, well, yeah, I didn't know if my copy was the right one. I just didn't know. It's been so many thousands of years, and how do we really know what the originals were? And if we... Jesus Christ looked at people and said, haven't you read the Scriptures? Don't you know what the Scriptures say? Have you not read what God said? See, those copies are authoritative. Turn with me to the book of Acts. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The passage that we started this series of studies with, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You know, when Paul wrote that, Scripture is profitable, he's talking about copies. And earlier in one of his epistles, he says that from a child, Paul says to Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, Timothy only had copies of God's Word. When Paul tells Timothy, Scripture can make you perfect, Timothy didn't have the originals, except maybe these letters that Paul sent him, he had those originals. But the rest of it, he didn't have the originals. He had copies. And those copies are able to make us perfect. So not only does God inspire His Word, every word, but He preserves every word. That's how you can be sure that the words that you have are living words. We'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions or comments you might have about this. Our address is simply Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us. And our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. As I said, any questions or comments that you might have, we would certainly welcome them. If you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire series of studies, Bible, Bible, Who's Got the Bible, just request it. We'll be glad to get it to you without any cost or obligation. For now, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.